What up?
And welcome to another episode of There's a Movie for That. My name is Zach Stone, and as always with me is my good friend Ryan Berger. Ryan, how you doing, man?
Hey, Zach, I'm doing great. How you
good.
Doing, buddy?
Good. I'm doing all right. My voice is actually still somehow recovering.
No, I have not recovered from last week.
From last week. Okay, well, let's do a little nonsense before we get into the actual podcast. We promised we'd recap the bachelor party a little bit, and I thought there was a good chance of us getting into a fight.
There were a couple of opportunities.
Did I think that fight was going to be with a bachelorette party and that they would wind up the victors? No.
I saw it coming.
So one of my buddies got punched in the face by a woman in a bachelorette party.
Yep.
The bride, I think.
I can't remember if it was the bride or her friend, but the bride was very upset.
She wasn't happy.
No.
So I didn't see that happening. But overall, beyond that, I had a really good time.
Oh, absolutely. I even had a good time while that was going on. I kind of just walked past that and, you know, watched it from afar.
How'd I sound? I feel like I was too drunk for the karaoke.
At karaoke? Oh, man. I don't think you were bad, but
I was trying to do some Wild Wild West in there and just like missed a whole bunch of lyrics. I just could not focus on what was going on.
Also, oddly enough, not a big karaoke crowd at the bar that was doing karaoke. Like,
so frustrating.
The crowd wasn't into it. The DJ himself did not seem to be into karaoke.
No. But you know what? We had a good barbecue beforehand.
Great barbecue.
We had good times. Only a little vomit. Only one person got punched. And it was by a bride.
And he did not deserve it, just to be fair.
He did not. No. It was somebody else.
Someone else in our party deserved it, but the wrong guy just caught the back.
Bam! Right in the face! So I had a great time. So thank you for indulging us in that. Before we get into the movie recap, some movie news that came out. Apparently, there is going to be another Star Wars trilogy.
I saw that. I'm very excited.
So there's a new trilogy in the works. It'll separate from the main story with all new characters. The first one will be written and directed by Rian Johnson, who did the upcoming movie Last Jedi. So no Skywalkers coming up and a new trilogy.
Oh, I did not know those details. So there will be no characters we're familiar with.
This will be the first trilogy that does not focus on the Skywalkers.
Well, I mean, I guess it was a matter of time.
Yeah, I mean, Luke's only can do so much with one family, right?
Yeah, I mean, we followed them quite a ways.
I mean, this...
From baby Vader.
This bodes well for the new movie, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, if they're willing to give this director, who no one's seen this movie yet.
Yeah, they must think very highly of him.
That's great. This bodes well, and I'm very excited for it.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, no, he's the same guy who did Looper.
Oh, I did love Looper.
Yeah, so I'm excited.
That was a fun movie.
That was a fun movie, yeah. So I'm excited to see. Well, if they're already this confident, then I'm excited for it. Although, I'm like one of the only people who did not enjoy the last Star Wars movie that came out.
Really?
Yeah.
It was basically the same story as A New Hope, but with different characters.
Yeah. I'm talking about Rogue One.
Oh, Rogue One. Okay. Yeah, really? I like that one too.
I did not enjoy that movie. I just didn't care about any of the characters.
Well, I mean, you knew they weren't going to make it.
Yeah, none of them did anything for me. They were all just too one-dimensional for me.
I guess that's fair. I liked the main character. She was cool.
No, I felt like she was a little... Felicity Jones played a little flat for me. I don't know. Just didn't do it for me. Either way, I am excited for the Last Jedi. Comes out December 15th.
Yeah.
That should be good. Okay. So now let's get into the part where we recap some of the movies that we're about to see. Apologies to Luke. This segment will run long because we were talking about two things. We are talking about Thor and we are talking about Stranger Things, and we got a lot to talk about with them. But first, let's talk about Thor. You saw this movie with me.
Yes, I did.
What'd you think of it?
I loved it. I thought it was by far my favorite Thor movie.
Oh, I mean, that's a low bar though, right?
It is. I didn't really enjoy any of the other Thor movies.
Yeah, but you've seen them though, right?
I did, yeah.
And the problem with the other Thor movies is they set up a lot for the overall Marvel Cinematic
Universe. Yes, that's been a big part of the Thor movies, more so than any of the other movies.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. And this,
like, poor Chris Hemsworth, it's kind of like, yeah, we're just going to throw you in here as a setup movie.
And it kind of happens again here. So, for those of you who do not know, the last time we saw Thor was in Age of Ultron. He missed all the fighting in Civil War because he was looking for Infinity Stones. It's around this time that Thor's sister, Hela, shows up and wants to rule Asgard. She is the god of death.
Yeah, she is insane.
Played by Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett, who I did not realize.
She's a chameleon.
The entire movie that it was Cate Blanchett. I love Cate Blanchett.
She is a chameleon.
And only when the credits rolled, I was like, oh my god, that's who that was?
Yeah, no, you could never.
She looked younger. Yeah, like
it was really slick what they did. So she essentially kicks Thor and Loki's ass and sends them to a planet, Sklar, where Thor gets captured and then forced to fight in a gladiator battle. So, I feel like this movie was also there to set up Infinity Wars.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they referenced it, the gauntlet.
The gauntlet's in there.
Yeah. I mean, that's been Thor's biggest role kind of in the Marvel Universe so far has been anytime the Infinity Stones come up, they're just like, yeah, Thor's doing stuff with those, right?
Yeah, he has really been the guy. And that's what the first act of the movie felt like to me. Like, it was all just setting up future movies.
I agree with that, but I felt like this was the first time that I still had fun watching the character.
And that's all Chris Hemsworth, right?
Yeah. Oh, he was great in this.
He was finally able to let loose.
He finally, like, he brought his A game. Yeah. He had comedic chops, which I really enjoyed.
No, he was just fantastic. He was finally able to loosen up the character a little bit. I mean, it opens up with jokes, right?
Yeah.
Like, so that's how you know the tone of the movie's going to be.
Well, he's done it in the Avengers movies, but in the Thor movies, they never really let him be that funny.
And it's crazy because he obviously has comedic chops, right? We've seen it in the...
He loves comedies. Cabin in the Woods, Ghostbusters. Yep. He was great in Ghostbusters, in fact.
He was also great in Vacation. I don't know if you ever saw the Vacation reboot.
Wait.
He had, like, really one
I do remember.
He was really funny in that movie.
That's
as well.
Right. I completely forgot about
possibly
that movie.
One of the best parts of that movie.
He was. Yeah. He was great. Just as this beautiful guy who's intimidating the crap out of Rusty.
He's shown that he can do it.
Yeah.
Probably his looks have worked against him, right?
It's like, true, because people just put him into this, like, mold, like, okay, you're the big hunky movie star. And he's like, but I can be funny, guys.
Yeah.
They're like, nah, don't worry about that.
He is funny, and also the director, I think, helps that.
I think so.
Taika Waititi? I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
I don't know if you are, but it sounds good to me.
Feel like I'm wrong. Anyway, he did Hunt for the Wilder People, and
I didn't see that one.
He's also known for the horror comedy What We Do in the Shadows.
Now that, I really enjoy.
I have not seen that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no.
Oh, man, that's great. That's got a great cult following, too.
And he also plays Korg, the rock monster.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. And the rock monster, to me, is one of the best parts of the movie,
too. The rock monster's awesome. Wow, that's interesting. He put himself in there. That's cool.
Well, kind of, right?
Well, yeah, I guess. Good point. CGI him.
Goldblum is fantastic.
Goldblum is always fantastic.
Yeah. He has a great little scene at the very, very end of the movie.
Yeah. No spoilers.
No spoilers. But I feel like a lot of the first act of the movie was to get to the middle part of this movie. The middle part, the second act of the movie is the best part of the movie, right?
Well, the middle part, yeah. I mean, that was the part that they were kind of selling the hardest.
Yes.
Like, in the previews, I didn't realize how big of a role Thor's sister was going to play in it.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a lot more of the fighting just between Thor and Hulk on this planet.
It's funny that you bring that up, because in the movie, it felt like they were trying to keep that a secret.
It did. In the previews.
In all the advertising campaigns, it's like Hulk bursting through the...
I know him from work!
Yeah!
Like, I love that!
But like in the movie, they're definitely trying to keep it a secret, right?
I mean, yeah, but... They definitely did in the movie, but I mean, everyone knows going in, because if you've seen a preview for it, you see the Hulk come crashing through the wall, and Thor ecstatic.
Right. I think if it wasn't for the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a whole, the whole movie would have just been that.
Probably. Yeah, because like you said, the rest really did feel like it was setting something up.
Yeah.
More so than it being absolutely necessary to the story in the middle, which seemed like it could have been its own movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Is this the funniest Marvel movie?
No, I don't think it's the funniest Marvel movie.
Guardians?
Yeah, Guardians got to take the cake.
I think that one caught me off guard so much.
I agree. And especially because... no one really knew, or at least I didn't know anything about the Guardians of the Galaxy and ended up loving those characters.
I knew about Guardians of the Galaxy a little bit.
Okay.
But and was worried. It was like, this comic series is so weird.
It was such
weird.
A small, like, niche. Like, because then I started to look into it after I heard about it, and it was such an odd choice, but it worked so well.
It was so weird that I was worried they would be able to pull it off. And I think that gave them the knowledge that they could.
Yeah.
Overall, this is a good movie.
I agree. I thought it was a really good movie.
I think that you have to like the other Marvel movies to like this one, though. If you're not a fan of the Marvel series, I don't know if you're going to like it.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely would not enjoy it as much if you're going in blind, but I still think that
it's just because of all the setup.
It's true. It's a lot of setup, but, I mean, you still got the cool battles with Thor and Hulk, and there are definitely laugh-out-loud moments throughout.
Oh, listen, the action is great, the comedy is great, but it's just, there's so much
space
in there.
You won't care as much about the story if you're not invested.
With all the plot and story and... A lot to get to. A lot of business that's setting up.
Yeah, it's definitely a setup movie again. Just by far the best one. Yeah. One that really works.
Right. All right. So, I warned you last week that we were going to talk about Stranger Things. Okay, I gave everyone the warning. Now here's another warning. We are going to spoil Stranger Things. So, if you would like, at this point, fast forward to the commercial break. You will hear music and... If you miss that music, there's another set of music after the commercial break. So, just fast forward until you hear the music break. This is my warning. There it is.
Spoilers abound.
If you haven't finished Stranger Things, this is your warning. Get out now. Fast forward to the second act of the show. Okay? What did you think of Stranger Things?
Oh my God. I thought it was so good.
Yeah? You liked it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm all in on this series. Yep. I love the first season. This season... I also really enjoyed, not as much as the first season.
Same.
Because, again, I think similarly to what you said before, I think that one caught me by surprise so much. But this one, I really enjoyed the characters. I really enjoyed the Chief Hopper and Eleven relationship that is developing. I liked all the new characters.
Yeah, new characters were all great.
A lot of new characters.
Yeah.
Brett Gelman, always great.
Always great.
Max. Who I thought was really enjoyable.
Max
I thought
was
she
great.
Was a perfect fit with their
she
little group.
She fit in fine. She was great.
Bob, who may have been my favorite.
I hated Bob at first.
Oh my God,
I hated him at first, and then he
Bob.
Grew on me so hard.
Oh my God, I love Bob.
But I knew he was there to die.
Oh God. maybe it's because I love Sean Astin so much, because he's always great. And Bob was just such a kind-hearted guy. Like, he just loved the family. He just wanted to provide for them.
Yeah.
He wanted to help Will by giving him the worst advice you could possibly accidentally give someone.
When they were cutting back and forth between that advice.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine if the smoke monster was just like, ugh, and then left? What if the advice had worked?
I was so upset when I saw, I was like, oh, Bob, no. He's trying so hard to help. Oh, God, that was terrible. Billy, the new bully character for poor Steve.
So was he a jerk or was he a racist jerk?
Oh, I mean, it definitely seemed like he was racist. He hated Lucas a lot. Specifically Lucas. And Billy, played by the guy that plays the Red Ranger in the new Power Rangers.
I had no idea. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know the Red Ranger was a racist.
Well, apparently we're going down that road. Yeah. But I didn't realize either. I looked that guy up on IMDb, and he was the Red Ranger, which I saw that movie. That was okay.
The one thing I was a little...
Oh, and Paul Reiser.
Yeah. Oh, he was great.
Paul Reiser. I loved Paul Reiser as well.
He was great.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be just a really evil character.
I did too.
Yeah.
I totally thought, I was like, oh man,
that
Paul Reiser is going to be such a jerk.
Yeah.
But maybe Paul Reiser is just too charming for them to go down that road with him.
Possibly.
Which is actually what happened with Steve's character. They wanted Steve to be the huge jerk.
Right.
In the first season,
yeah.
They were like, oh, he's such a bully. Everyone's going to hate him. But the actor was so charming that they were like, oh, we all like this guy. And he just won everybody over.
His relationship with Dustin.
Oh, my God.
Was so great.
Amazing. Steve's character in this season just absolutely killed it. I don't even know if it's a redemption tale, because his redemption started last season.
Yeah, it really did.
Where he might be the only one that reacted rationally when he first learned about this monster at the end of the first season. Where he's like, we all gotta get out of here. And everyone's like, no, we're gonna stay. And he's like, well, I'm leaving. He runs out of the house for like 2 minutes, gets a bag, comes back in and saves everyone's life.
Yeah.
So the redemption starts there.
Right.
and has just continued, yeah. and he has become more and more endearing.
Yeah, he was a great character. The one thing I will knock about this, and I've talked about it with other people, so maybe I'm thinking too much into it. I expected more deaths. If we're going to
main characters,
maybe not main characters, but I thought Hopper was done.
Oh, God.
I thought Hopper was a dead man.
Oh, I would have been heartbroken.
Right, but it felt like he'd been able to apologize. I don't know if Eleven needed him as much going forward in the future.
Well, I think it's interesting their dynamic because he tries to be the authoritative figure, but when they go head-to-head, it is very clear that Eleven is so much more powerful that he tries to put his foot down, and she just is like, no, I could throw you across this room with ease. And he's like, oh!
And I agree that he is helping her with her control.
Yeah.
But I think if you had killed that character, then it forces you to do more things with Eleven come next season.
But then who would watch Eleven?
I would think it would be not her mom, but like her mom's caretaker. In my head, that's who I thought would happen.
Does she live anywhere near the other characters?
I thought they did. I thought she lived in town. I could be wrong. I don't know how far the trucker took her.
Yeah, I just kind of thought that she was farther away, and I felt like that would remove her from all of her friends.
I don't know. I guess it's tough to tell. I thought she would still be in the school district, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Did she even go to school? I mean, she hasn't went to the yet. Dance. She did go to the dance. She got one night out.
She got one night out. And that year's going to be up soon. So,
yeah.
Oh, my heart broke for Dustin.
Oh, my God. Okay, but Nancy Wheeler. Every guy in the world has to have a crush on her. Every teenager must be in love with Nancy Wheeler.
Why? She's the worst.
Okay. I agree with that, but that ending, it totally saved her for me when she did that for Dustin, because Dustin is such a lovable, kind-hearted kid. Oh my God, that is the awful. And he did it so many times, everyone reacted negatively. That was the best part. Like, every single face, when people heard it, they were like, what is wrong with you? But Nancy, although she treats Steve like absolute garbage, despite him being a saint,
he's a bad boyfriend. He knows it.
He said that. Did we see that at all?
I've
never seen him do anything other than try to get her not to get hammered.
Right.
And then not be mopey all the time that Barb died. Those seem to be the two biggest knocks on him in her little story. But, I mean, what did Jonathan do that was so great? Other than be a wuss that doesn't really understand things half the time?
He's actually another character I thought could die.
See, that I could see. I would have been okay with that.
How much more can he protect his brother? He lost his virginity, which is always like a sign that you're going to die in a horror series, right?
Yeah, because Brett Kilman was basically forcing these teenagers upon each other.
And we're agreeing that Jonathan definitely lost his virginity.
Oh, 100%. There is no way. His only friend was his brother.
That's it.
He didn't talk to other people.
He talks to no one
Nancy forced him to talk to her.
Yes. So.
And then took his virginity.
Definitely took his virginity. And yeah, it just felt like that's another character that can push Will's character to do more next season.
Oh, God. Poor Will. I don't even want him to have to do more. He's been through so much.
I know he has.
He was in the Upside Down for the entire first season.
I am impressed that they were able to develop his character more.
I agree. And I thought that the actor did a really good job when the mind flayer took over him, like from going from Will to this creature inside of him taking over.
Oh, the betrayal. Will's betrayal.
The spy?
Yeah. Oh, that was a tough one.
Oh, man.
Another knock against, and this is a small knock. Mm. Overall, I like the series. Like, I thought it was a fun series. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was as gripping as season one was.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But I think a lot of that for me was because in the first season, I just had no idea where things could possibly be going. Like, I did not understand what was going on, and I just needed to know. Whereas maybe understanding things a little better made it less gripping.
Okay. The one thing I didn't like about it as well is I felt like they kept Eleven apart from the group a little too long.
Yeah, and so one thing that I didn't really care much about was her little side story with 8 and her friends.
I could see them trying to expand.
I feel like I feel like that has to be a setup. Yeah. Like, I didn't care about those characters at all.
No, I mean, the series opens up with that.
Exactly, and so I thought that we were going to learn more about
them. I thought that was going to be that character was going to be a bigger part of the series. And it's frustrating, too, because that was the episode right after The Spy.
Yeah.
Where we get, like, this break episode of Eleven in Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, I assume we're going to see more of the other members of these 11 experimental children.
That's what I thought this season was going to be about.
I thought so too. That's why I thought it was weird that they didn't expand on it. They barely even gave us information about 8.
So if we're supposed to believe that the smoke monster is a real threat, then it just seemed like more people should die for me.
Well, don't forget that the entire lab of scientists.
Sure, I just don't have any emotional attachment.
Maybe you don't, but a lot of people died.
I'm sorry to those wives and children.
With great ease, they easily killed almost every adult they encountered.
Yeah.
Easily killed, but these 13-year-olds
tough.
Thwart them.
They're tough.
Again, with ease.
Do you feel bad for Dart?
Not really.
You feel bad for Dart?
Why?
At the very end?
I mean,
he's just enjoying some musketeers, man.
He was evil, man.
He let him pass.
He barely let them pass. He just wanted the nougat. He was all ready to tear them apart. And then Dustin's like, hey, buddy, I got you nougat. Oh, all right.
So, do you plan on rewatching the show?
I already have.
You've already rewatched it?
Yeah. I have time, Zach. How many times do I have to tell you?
I am impressed. I am impressed. Coming up next, we're going to talk about one of the biggest events going on in the movies and in the news. So come on back.
Hey, Zach here. So I have a question. Do you need a little bit more money in your pocket, but you don't want the hassle of working on their schedule? I have the perfect solution. It's driving for Lyft. When I'm not seeing movies, talking about movies, writing about movies, that's what I'm doing. I'm making a little extra money on my time whenever I want to. And all I have to do is drive my car. If you have a car, you have a way to make a little extra money, and wouldn't that be nice? So if you'd like to make an extra $70 a week or $700 a week, you can do that by driving with Lyft. And if you use our code, you can get a guaranteed income when you're first starting out. Just use the code ZACH12980. That's ZACH12980. And get started driving for Lyft. Make money on your time. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the show. I hope you stuck around. I know that first part was long, but there was a lot to get to. And we'll lie, there's a lot to get to here as well. So now's the time of the show where we're going to talk about some of the biggest events in the news and cross that with our favorite movies, whether that be a character, a plot line, and see what we can learn. And there has been this story hanging above our heads literally the entire time we've been doing this. I mean, could we have picked a worse time to start a podcast where we cross the movies and the news than all the stories of sexual misconduct in Hollywood happening?
Talking about all these celebrities every week.
And I don't know about you, but I thought when we were starting out, it was all going to be Trump jokes. And like,
right?
I mean, not that we couldn't lump him in to all of this.
Very good point.
But even as we're recording this, I'm sure the information just keeps coming out.
Every single day.
So much.
Like, I dread waking up every day because I know someone that I admire in Hollywood is going to become disgusting to me.
And I think one of the problems is we are afraid to talk about it. I mean, not just you and I.
Well, I think that's a big part of the reason why it took so long for this to finally come to a head.
Sure. I mean, there's a reason we did a Billy Joel episode, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's because we were afraid.
Yeah, we had discussed this and we were like, you know what? No, we'll cover something a little lighter.
This isn't fun.
No.
This isn't funny to talk about.
No.
So it's tough to do when we're trying to do
something fun and lighthearted.
Sure. This isn't that.
This is not.
But at what point is it going to be bad that you're not talking
about it? Yeah, it's weird that we're ignoring it when we're doing a movie podcast and every day a new actor or director or producer turns out to have been a sexual predator.
Now, the latest accusations come against Louis C.K., and they are not accusations anymore because he admitted
confirmed,
to them.
Confirmed,
The New York Times printed accusations from 5 women who say he harassed them by either playing with himself in front of them or asking if he could. Comedians Dana Min Goodman, and Julia Waslov said Louis invited them to his hotel after a gig in 2002, where he asked if he could expose himself to them. They thought he was joking, until he did it. In 2003, Abby Schaumer called Louis to invite him to one of her shows. He started telling her about his sexual fantasies, breathing heavily, and she could tell he was enjoying himself on the other end. Rebecca Corey said that Louis asked if he could touch himself in front of her while they were both filming a 2005 pilot. Courtney Cox and David Arquette were producing the show, and they both say it happened. And the fifth accuser comes from an anonymous staffer on the Chris Rock show back in the late 90s. She says that Louis repeatedly asked her to watch him go to town on himself. Louis was writer and producer on the show.
Ugh, that is just terrible to hear. Especially because I always really liked Louis C.K. He always seemed like a really down-to-earth guy.
He seemed like he was speaking for those who couldn't speak for themselves.
Exactly.
For like,
oh, and another person who he apparently was inappropriate with was Tig Notaro.
Yeah, Tig Notaro. She became very well known to the world
after
she did his comedy special about her survival of cancer.
Yeah.
And they actually have been working together on this Amazon series, One Mississippi.
Yeah, and she said it was horrible knowing that she had to work with him.
Louis is listed as a producer on the show, but only through his company. He has nothing to do with it personally. And Tig actually put a scene into one of the episodes where a woman's boss plays with himself in front of her during a meeting. Tig admits it was a fictional treatment of the Louis C.K. rumors.
Ugh, so disappointing.
And after all the accusations, they said he wasn't going to comment.
Well, initially, when the accusations first came out, he said that, oh, I'm not going to talk about this because then that makes it seem like it's legitimate when it's not. And then after the New York Times piece came out, then he was like, oh, it's true.
He released a statement. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I will read some of it. These stories are true. At the time, I said to myself, what I did was okay, because I never showed a woman my dick without asking first, which is also true. But what I learned later in life, too late, is that when you have power over another person, asking them to look at your dick isn't a question. Is that something we learn later in life?
I feel like you should know that. I mean, especially, I mean, I guess he's been famous for a very long time now. But
sure, yeah.
But he's always seemed like it was important to him to instill morals on his children. Like, you'd think these are things that he would think about.
And obviously, you've seen the show, Louis.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about masturbation a lot.
Yeah.
In that show. And he does whole bits on it. Yep. And now it just, it looks so different
it
now.
It taints, it really, like, learning this about him, it just taints a lot of his work, which, again, is just so disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, this statement was a lot better than Kevin Spacey's, though, right?
Ugh, Kevin Spacey. That was nightmarish how he handled it.
Spacey tweeted, I honestly do not remember the encounter. It would have been over 30 years ago. But if I did behave then, as he describes, I owe him the sincerest apology for what have been deeply inappropriate drunken behavior. I'm sorry for the feelings he describes having carried with him all these years. And then he addresses, the story has encouraged me to address other things about my life, including my private relationships. So right. He comes out
at the worst possible time.
So at least Louis did better than that, right?
Oh, he definitely, at least he owned up to it.
But I mean, is that even a comment worth making? Should we even be applauding Louis?
Spacey set the bar so low with how he handled it that,
I mean, we shouldn't be giving any kind of praise or anything.
No.
Apology or not. In fact, I've read Louis C.K.'s statement. In there, he doesn't say I'm sorry.
Huh.
He does not apologize. He says he felt remorseful for his actions. But in no point in there is there an apology. I feel remorseful to the staff, to my crew, to the people at FX. But there is no apology in that statement.
I guess he didn't even think it would matter. I mean, ultimately, it probably doesn't.
So is that it for Louis? Are we allowed to like him anymore?
It doesn't look good. I was reading an article where someone said that they think he's pretty much done. How are you ever going to look at him the same way again? I mean, his persona was a big part of what you liked about him, and now it's completely different.
Weinstein's done.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, he's been kicked out of the Academy.
Yeah, they want nothing to do
with him. He's been kicked out of the Producers Guild. Yeah. He's been kicked out of his company. He feels done.
Kevin Spacey
also feels done. Yeah. If you molest an underage boy, you're done.
And that's another one where he's made a career out of, a lot of times he plays pretty despicable characters that he ends up making us like, and I always thought, like, wow, that's so impressive as an actor to do that, and now it just seems like he wasn't even acting. That's just what he does.
Yeah, well, he's already been fired from Netflix, a Gore Vidal biopic that he had, that's been scrapped. He's been removed from House of Cards despite already filming two episodes. And same thing happened to Louis.
Well, it's gotten to the point where the backlash has caused people to be afraid of the only thing that motivates people, losing money. And these guys have become poison, basically.
Yep. Louis has been removed from HBO's Night of Too Many Stars, which is to benefit autism. They scrapped this movie. I mean, speaking of, there's a movie for that. Like,
yeah, it was just about to come out, right?
There was going to be a movie for this, right?
Yeah.
Like, there was a scene in Louis' movie in which one of the characters mimes masturbating over a phone.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
clearly taken from life.
I don't know what to make of a scene like that, given the context.
I almost feel like in his head he truly didn't realize what he was doing was wrong.
Because the rumors have been out there for years. I mean, I knew this day was coming for Louis. When the movie came out, critics were asking him, with all the rumors that have been circulating about you for years in the industry, about you and the masturbation thing. Gawker had the story actually a couple years ago that some comedian out there would do this to female comedians and that they couldn't come forward because of how powerful this one comedian was.
Oh, I did not know about that.
And when his movie finally came out, which we'll never see.
No.
But when his movie finally came out, there was that scene, that masturbating scene in there. And then one reporter asked him, hey, this seems very similar to what you've been accused of in the past. Care to comment? I won't comment on any of these because if I do, that makes the rumors bigger. And that's what he called it. He called all these rumors beforehand. So I just don't know if we can forgive him. Even after releasing this statement. Because he denied all this up until a week ago.
Oh, yeah. I definitely don't think we can forgive him. I just feel like maybe he was trying to rationalize it in his own head.
Since Harvey Weinstein, there have been at least 45, 46 today. The showrunner for The Flash and for Supergirl.
Oh, on the CW.
Also been added to the list.
Man.
Harvey Weinstein, Ben Affleck, Oliver Stone, Lars Van Tier, George H.W., Kevin Spacey, Jeremy Piven, David Blaine, director Brett Ratner, Andy Dick, Dustin Hoffman, Charlie Sheen, Ed Westwick, Jeffrey Tambor, Steven Seagal, Matthew Weiner, the creator of Mad Men. The list is long and it's going to keep growing.
Yeah, I didn't realize just how long it was until you actually showed it to me before the podcast.
Right.
And it's just it's two pages long. Front and back.
It's 2 pages long. It's only going to get bigger. So what can we do? Last night, I watched Chasing Amy with Sarah. She had never seen it before.
Oh, yeah. Great movie.
Can I like that anymore? It's a Miramax movie. I mean, okay. So I can't like that because I know Kevin Smith is donating any residuals to a foundation that promotes women in movies.
Right.
But, like, I mean, beyond, can I enjoy a Kevin Spacey movie anymore? I was literally in the middle of rewatching Louis on Netflix.
Ugh.
Like, I was on to season 4. This stops, right? I mean, it's not like you've been rewatching The Cosby Show. Like, that's been done for a while.
Yeah.
Like, no one's picked that show back up.
No, I don't know. I mean, like I said, like, I feel like a lot of what sold you on those guys was, it seemed like, their charm.
Right.
And that's just gone now.
Yeah. And, you know, what kills me in all of this is that he says, I learned too late in life. I mean, what did you need? Did you need an episode of Leave It to Beaver or Happy Days where Mr. C sits Richie down and tells him, now, Richie, when you take Lori Beth down to the lake, whatever you do, don't masturbate in front of her. Like, what? Like,
really seems like you should already be aware that that's weird and creepy, and people don't really like it.
I mean, maybe that's what we need. Maybe that's what we need to start telling our children.
PSAs?
Like a Sesame Street character. Like a little puppy who's like, I have a date with Ellie this weekend. What are you going to do? I'm going to masturbate in front of her. No, Monster Mash, we don't do that in front of our friends. We don't masturbate in front of our friends. Like, is that what needs to happen?
M is not for masturbation.
Like, I mean, I don't know about you. Like, I cannot find a movie for this. There hasn't been a lesson. And maybe it's crazy to think that now we need, like, a TV show or something to come forward to teach our young people. This is not okay.
It's not even young people. It's mostly older people who should have already known better.
I mean, I don't have a movie for this. There was going to be a movie for this. That movie is canned. No one will see that movie. It was called I Love You, Daddy. There is no longer a movie for that.
Yeah.
That movie's been canceled.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you had anything like that.
I mean, I was just looking for movies where sexual predators got their comeuppance, basically.
Ooh, did you have any?
I came up with From Dusk Till Dawn.
Okay.
Where Quentin Tarantino's character is a sexual predator creep who creeps on Juliette Lewis. He rapes their maid and kills her. And then he gets turned into a vampire and staked by his brother. So I felt that was a fitting, absurd death for this absurd situation.
Is that what you're hoping for, Louis?
Get turned into a vampire and staked? No, that's pretty gruesome.
Are you hoping that for Kevin Spacey? Where is the line, Berger?
Ah, Kevin Spacey might have to get it.
If there's anything we've learned from this week's episode, it's that M doesn't stand for
masturbation.
It does not, okay? So don't. If you're taking the lady out, if you're working.
Or, yeah, if you're just around a woman that you work with.
Don't masturbate in front of people. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to think. Like,
yeah, just don't be a creep.
Don't be a creep. Don't pull your dick out in public or in the workplace unless you're at the urinal.
Yeah.
If you're at the urinal, that's really the only time. So apologies to all the women out there on behalf of all of our gender. I'm sorry that cannot keep it in our pants, but it seems to be a problem with people in power, and luckily, the two people on this show will never have any of that.
Woohoo! Aw.
Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. I know this was a heavy topic to get through, but if you did like this episode, please recommend it to a friend, or follow us on Twitter. We're at A Movie For That on Twitter. If you have a suggestion for us, you can email us at theresamovieforthat@gmail.com. We are available on Stitcher, on iTunes, on TuneIn. Next week, we will try to handle something that doesn't have to do with masturbation.
I think that'd be for everyone's best interest.
That is the goal for next week. So up until then, my name is Zach Stone. And for Ryan Berger, thanks so much for listening. Stay safe out there, everybody. Bye-bye.